The Gift of Healing, Part 5, the obscure Yiddish word I got in a dream, which opens up a new dimension of the gift of healing. On Friday, April 9th, 2021, I awoke in the morning from a sound night's sleep with a strange word in my head. Pushke, and it's spelled P as in Paul, U-S-H-K-E. Pushke. It took me a few minutes to Google the word and find out what it meant, but when I did, a whole new dimension of the gift of healing opened up to me. Now, a pushke is a little can or container kept in the home. It's used for collecting money that the family is going to use to donate to charity or for the poor. Historical roots. In our church tradition, giving to the poor is considered an obligation, something we do every month. We fill out a form detailing how much of our donation is going to go to tithing and how much is going to fast offering. We write out a check, stuff both of them in an envelope, and hand it to the bishopric member. Not much behavior required. Just tithing slip, pen, checkbook, and envelope. Bada bing, bada boom, obligation met. Interestingly, simply paying one's fast offering isn't necessarily a sign of charitable behavior. I've known plenty of people in my life who consistently pay their fast offerings, yet they were well known for not being very Christ-like in their families nor their professions. Their countenances, usually bereft of joy and happiness and love. Now, in Judaism, giving to the poor is not viewed as a generous, magnanimous obligation. It's simply an act of justice and righteousness. The custom originates with the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. In a number of passages in the Torah, God commands the Jewish people to perform acts of tzedakah, and that's spelled T-Z-E-D-A-K-A-H, tzedakah. It's the Hebrew word for justice or righteous behavior. Two passages which outline ways in which we can fulfill this commandment are found in Leviticus 19:9-10 and Deuteronomy 15:7-8. Now, I'm convinced that both these passages served as inspirations for the great King Benjamin, who said in Mosiah 4:16-18, "And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. Ye will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man has brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I'll stay my hand, and I will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God." When you read these scriptures, can't you see that the Old Testament authors, as well as King Benjamin, were thinking a little deeper than our filling out a little slip of paper and handing it and a check to a church leader? They were after transformation. They were after righteousness. Neither of those two ends are accomplished by the stroke of a pen, but the stirrings of the heart. Now, interestingly enough, even modern-day Jews lament the demise of the pushke. As one rabbi stated, "To my enormous regret, the pushke has become somewhat obsolete. Not that Jewish people are not as generous as they once were, but the pushke, it's a relic, threatened not by frugality, but by inflation and technology. Alas, coins are not worth what they once were. Pushkes, which must be distributed and collected, are not cost-effective. It's more economical to give charity with a check, which in turn can be used for tax credits. The modern philanthropist is likely to charge his or her contribution to a credit card." That's Rabbi Kenneth Cohen. I agree. Whipping out the old checkbook and paying fast offerings is great, but it requires no behavior, no Christian mindset whatsoever. That's why performing acts of tzedakah with a pushke, in addition to fast offerings, is much better. The above passages guided the Jews and the Nephites to treat those who were poor and or without food with dignity, and to ensure that their basic needs were met. In fact, I'd say these commandments directed these cultures to create a social welfare system based on individual and communal responsibility to care for those who couldn't care for themselves. Implementing modern-day acts of tzedakah with a pushke. Now, remember, the pushke is a little can or container kept in the home. It's used for collecting money that the family is going to use to donate to the charity or to the poor. The pushka is important to the commandment of giving tzedakah because it allows Jews to give anonymously. The medieval Jewish scholar Rambam, and I love his name, organized the acts of tzedakah by merit, considering anonymous giving more credible than acknowledged giving. Anonymous donation maintains a dignified relationship between those who are giving and those who are receiving aid. It's also important because it signifies a community effort to aid people who need it and may not be able to ask for it directly. The pushka serves as a means for each member of a household to contribute, both kids and adults alike, fostering the importance of giving among all age groups. One of the most convenient ways in which to give money to people in need is to keep a pushka in one's household. It's a small box or container, and it can be used for one specific charitable cause or it can be for general collection. In some circles in Judaism, an organizational representative regularly comes to collect the contents of the pushka. That's not really the case with we LDS because we're not in the habit of keeping a pushka in which to place our tzedakah. True, right? So I invite you to implement something so simple. I mean, it's something which King Benjamin and even our Lord were quite likely aware of and likely encouraged in their lifetimes. Start today to keep a pushka into which you will place your tzedakah. Now, check out this picture. It's on my blog, ldsperfectday.blogspot.com. My friend John keeps this small plastic box in his car. And every time he gets change, he gets it from the store, under his couches, or wherever else I don't even want to think of. He gets that change. He puts it in the box. Every time he goes to the store, he gets an extra $5 in cash and puts it in that box. So I asked John how he does this, and he said, I don't run into beggars at my home, so I keep this box in my car with me. And the Lord's always generous in giving me an opportunity to share what I've collected in my box. So I asked John, I said, how do you know how much to give the beggar? And he said, there's two things the Lord loves to communicate to us. Number one, what we need to do to be closer to him and our heavenly parents. And number two is how to serve others. And in the latter case, as I'm approaching the beggar, the Lord will give me a number. That's how many dollars I'll give the beggar. Multi-generationally transformed together. Rabbi Cohen continues. He says, the demise of the pushka is not a tragedy for philanthropy, but it is a tragedy for Jewish education. A child cannot help write a check. 3-year-old does not know what to do with a credit card. But a little fellow or little lass can put coins in a box. In this way, a child can be initiated into this great mitzvah, or good deed. In this manner, each boy and girl can learn, in a very real sense, that charity begins at home. Rabbi Israel Salanter was once asked, how do you take care of your spiritual needs? He responded, by taking care of somebody else's physical needs. And therein is healing in a whole new, marvelous way. You see, sometimes a person needs healing not by the touch of a hand or a finger, but in other ways. Sometimes the beggar can be physically attacked, but he needs a meal. Sometimes the family isn't ailing, but it's wondering how they're going to pay for that month's power or water. And when examined in a larger context, by distributing what you've gathered in your pushka, you can help alleviate suffering. You help to heal the world with acts of loving kindness, benefiting both the giver and the recipient. As Rambam said, we do perform an act of tzedakah when we fulfill our duties towards our fellow men. These duties develop within us a virtuous character. That is when we heal the wound of the sufferer. Imagine all of that analysis above, from one simple word, pushka, as I awoke one morning. Praise Yeshua for the truths he generously reveals to us, the benefits of which have no end.
What if you could go back and relive one day of your life all over again and unmake
the mistake that left you a million miles away from the you you once knew. Now yesterday's shame keeps saying that you'll never get back on track. But what if I told you? You're one step away from surrender, one step away from coming home, coming home. One step from arms wide open, his love has never let you go. You're not alone, you're one step away. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, mercy says you don't have to keep running down the road. You're on. Love's never met a lost cause. Your shame, lay it down. Leave your ghost in the past, cause you know that you can't go back. But you can turn around. You've never been more than one step away from surrender, one step away from coming home, coming home. Wide open, his love has never let you go. You're not alone, you're one step away. You're one step away. Lay down your old chains. Come now and take up your new name. Your best life up ahead now. You one step away, lay down your old chains. Come now and take up your new name. Your best life up ahead now. You one step away, lay down your old chains. Come now and take up your new name. Your best life up ahead now. You one step away. Lay down your old chains. Come now, take up your new name. Your best life up ahead now. You're just one step away.